Our scripture reading today is from Luke 22, 54 through 62. It's a story we all probably know pretty well, but I like to look at it from a different view today. So it goes, "Then seizing him," talking about Jesus here, "they led him away and took me into the house of the high priest. Peter followed at a distance, and when some of them had kindled a fire in the middle of the courtyard and sat down together, Peter sat down with them. A servant girl saw him seated there in the firelight. She looked closely at him and said, 'This man was with him.' But he denied it. 'Woman, I don't know him,' he said. A little later, someone else saw him and said, 'You also are one of them.' 'Man, I am not,' Peter replied. About an hour later, another asserted, 'Certainly, this fellow was with him, for he is a Galilean.' Peter replied, 'Man, I don't know what you're talking about.' Just as he was speaking, the rooster crowed. The Lord turned and looked straight at Peter. Then Peter remembered the word that the Lord had spoken to him: 'Before the rooster crows today, you will disown me three times.' And he went outside and wept bitterly." So today I want to look at this story, look at the life of Peter, and talk about transformation. According to the dictionary, transformation, it says, a complete or major change in someone's or something's appearance, form, etc. Transformation is at the heart of the Christian faith. That's what we're all about. We're all about this transforming grace of God come to the world through Jesus. And Jesus came to transform the world, to bring the kingdom of God to earth. We believe that transformation is possible. Not only in the God's creation, looking outside, you can see transformation every day. You can see coming into fall season, the leaves are changing, the weather's changing. There's transformation going on. This transformation, it's also in our hearts. I might even suggest that it's impossible to see the transformation God desires in his creation until we see transformation in the hearts and the lives of people and those around us. As we read the New Testament, especially the Gospels here, we find that people's lives were transformed when they encountered Jesus. We see stories of his healing and of his teaching. People whose lives were completely changed. Jesus, he had this effect on people. So I want to talk here for the next 5 weeks, kind of this week six. I want to look at six different biblical characters whose lives were transformed, they were changed by their encounters with Jesus. Like I said, today we're going to talk about Peter. So when we talk about Jesus changing people, we're talking specifically about the heart. We're not talking about the leaves changing. We're not talking about a haircut or whatever may happen. We're talking about the change of heart. Now, not the physical heart. Their hearts didn't jump up and leave and a new one jump in. It was, they had the same heart, but their spiritual hearts were changed. The biblical writers, the ancient Christians, they understood the spiritual heart to be the center of the will of human beings. That's where your soul was. That's where you really were. That was you. Transformation then, from these early Christians, meant to have a change of heart that involves the totality of our being. It wasn't just a change of heart. I'd rather go to Applebee's today than Ruby Tuesday. It was a change of our whole being. It was giving our will over to God. Now, heart transplants, a little sidetrack here. Heart transplants are pretty common today, I feel like. The first heart transplant was performed successfully by a man named Dr. Bernard. He transplanted a human heart into another doctor, Dr. Blayberg. After the surgery, Dr. Bernard carried the old heart in a plastic box, and he showed it to the other doctor. They sat there for a while looking at the scars and the thickening and the different aspects of the heart. Dr. Bernard, the surgeon at this time, said, "Do you realize you're the first man in human history to sit and look at your own heart while you're still alive?" Dr. Blayberg, the man who had the surgery done to him, he received this new human heart to extend his life. Jesus, he came to transform the lives of people and to give us a new spiritual heart that will extend our souls through eternity. This heart that he can use to continue transformation in others and other people around us in all of his creation. So hey, again, I want to start with Peter. The Apostle Peter, he's great. His whole life is a transformation, a constant roller coaster in a spiritual being. His journey is a lot like ours. He experienced many transformations. His life reminds us that transformation isn't a one-time effect either. It's an ongoing process. It's something that keeps happening through our lives. It's a constant change, a constant relationship, a constant battle. And that's the whole idea of sanctifying grace. A little Wesleyan theology before we keep going with this. Sanctifying grace. That's what we're really going to focus in on. But John Wesley, he saw grace in three ways. Grace was one thing, but three different areas of it. You have prevenient, justifying, and sanctifying. Prevenient grace, in this analogy, the story we talked about earlier, prevenient is going to the doctor and finding out you need this new heart. So when something was wrong with the old one, we didn't know what it was, but we knew something had to change. Someone was telling us we needed to change. Prevenient grace is the grace that goes before we're saved, before we have that transforming moment. Then you have justifying grace. That's when you have the heart surgery. The heart transplant is performed. You get a new heart. Your whole life has changed. You have a new future ahead of you, a new relationship. Then you have sanctifying grace. This is what happens after the surgery. You go through physical therapy. Your diet changes. Your way you live changes. Your exercise changes. Everything changes. Because you have a new heart in you, and you have to live with that. You have to accept what the heart gives you, accept what's going on with it, and keep trying to live a healthier life day by day. At that point, you have to stop doing things that you did before the heart transplant, which caused your heart to be wrong in the first place. So let's look at that process through Peter's journey. Peter, who was Simon at the beginning of the Gospels, he was called by Christ and he responded to the call. Prevenient, going into justifying. He got that new heart and he got a new name too. Yet his transformation, it wasn't complete. There were numerous transforming moments for Peter. You see when he walks on water. That was a huge experience. He gets out of the boat, starts walking. It's a high moment in his ministry. High moment in his spiritual life. But then he falls. He begins to drown. That was a low moment. He fell off the mountain. He didn't have the faith to sustain that. Another one was when Jesus told Peter, he said, "You're the rock. Your faith, it's strong. You're awesome," basically. Then a few verses later, he says, "Peter, you're being a stumbling block to me. Get away, Satan." Another low moment there. It was this process of high moments, of low moments. It's not a one-time event. It's not, here's your grace, have a good life, that's the end of it. This transformation, it's an ongoing process. It's something that starts when you're saved at that justifying moment. And it doesn't end until you go up to meet God in heaven. God is constantly transforming in our lives. And perhaps the most transformative experience of Peter's life was the experience in today's gospel, his denial of Jesus. The most transformative event, I believe, in Peter's life was also, I believe, his greatest failure. Peter, who earlier, maybe a few chapters before, was ready to die for Christ. He was cutting off the ears of the priest's assistants. He was defending Jesus with everything he had. All of a sudden, when a young lady looked at him, he said, "I don't know that man. I never knew him." When another man, two men, said, you were with him. We saw you. "I don't know that man. I've never seen Jesus before." Then that's when Jesus looked at him. And his whole world came crashing down. This, I believe, is his greatest failure. But God, he uses colossal failure, this denying Jesus three times at the point where Jesus could see you basically to his face, and I didn't know him. God used this to transform this disciple into a disciple that would eventually change the world. We see his story through Acts, how he goes and starts churches and changes lives. So there are a couple lessons I learned from Peter's failure here that might be transformative for us as well. First, the tears of our failure open the door for God's transformation. Luke, he tells us that Peter went out at the end and he wept bitterly. So much had happened to Peter in the previous few hours, Jesus being arrested, the denial. His life, it was crashing down around him, everything he knew. He had given up his entire life to follow Jesus, and now it seemed to be over. This was the end. This last 3 years suddenly meant nothing to some of the disciples with the arrest of Jesus. This, for Peter, is what we call a crisis of faith, something we experience today. It brought up a question that Peter had to overcome to keep going forward. Is Jesus still Lord, even when my world is crashing down around me? Now, in Peter's defense, he may have had this big failure, but through his life, he was very close to Jesus. He followed him into the courtyard after Jesus' arrest when no one else would. They all scattered. They all ran away to get away from this trouble at hand. Peter, he needed to know what was going to happen to Jesus. He needed to see it firsthand. He was there. And something compelled Peter to stay there, even as he was being questioned. I don't know about you. I was Peter. Someone asked me if I knew Jesus. Well, say I said no, I'd be gone. I'd be out of there. I'm not about to get arrested as well. That's not what I signed up for. But not Peter. He stayed. He stayed to see what would happen. He was staying, hoping, beyond anything, that Jesus would make a change. Jesus would say, I'm done. Let's get this kingdom going. You can't arrest me anymore. I'm the king. That's not what happened. Peter denied him 3 times. Later, Jesus died on the cross, and Peter thought it was over. But God, he wasn't done with Peter yet. This transforming experience wasn't done when Jesus died, as Peter thought it was. Christ, he sees the desires of the heart, in this case, Peter's heart. He saw what Peter was truly about. He may have denied Christ, but that's not really how Peter felt. Paul, he says, be careful, or your hearts will be weighed down with the dissipation, drunkenness, and anxieties of life. That day will close unexpectedly on you like a trap. Do you see what Jesus was saying here? Jesus said that, sorry. Jesus, he knows the human heart. Its deceitfulness, its frailty. He knows the consequences of being entrapped by the pleasures and possessions of this life, as Peter was. He knows that despite our best intentions, we can fail him. And others around us, we can try our best and still fail. I mean, I do it on a daily basis. Look at the bulletins. I failed on those this week. But that's okay. God, he knows. He knows what we're really trying to do, what our real goal is. All of us, we can experience this failure in our relationships, our work, study, families, commitments, and our faith. And above all, just as Peter did here, spiritually, we have all failed at times. We've all hit the bottom of the roller coaster. The dictionary describes failure as to be deficient, to be wanting to fall short of performance and attainment. That's exactly how Paul described what happens in our relationship with God. He wrote in Romans, there is no difference, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Now, when Peter failed, he looked and Jesus was looking right at him, looking him right in the eyes. Jesus wasn't looking at him to say, you messed up just like I said. How could you? I believe it was more of a look of encouragement. A look to say, hey, that's okay. Start over. I know what you really meant. I know what's on your heart. Jesus, he accepts our intentions. He understood Peter did not mean to fail him in his commitment and his courage. He understands us and accepts what we have intended in our hearts. Jesus understands our weaknesses. He has personally tried and tested in every point when he came down as a man. So is he able to understand and to strengthen us in our times of weakness? Jesus, he challenges us. He challenges our commitment. And it's there the second lesson comes in. No one fails beyond the reach of God's grace. Transformation is a lifelong process. In the midst of our confusion, doubt, and fear, Jesus, He comes to us. He sends encouragement to us and calls us. It was after the resurrection. The women went to the tomb, and Mark's gospel, I believe, he tells it best here. The word to the angel speaks to the woman at the tomb and says, "Go tell his disciples and Peter." He specifies Peter. God, He had not forgotten about Peter because He denied him. God, this whole time, His desire to transform Peter. Peter, who thought, "This is my greatest failure, I failed." God said, This is a great time in your faith. This is when I can work in you and work through you. We find too in John's gospel, after the resurrection, Jesus was having breakfast with the disciples. He asked Peter 3 times, "Do you love me?" With each of Peter's replies, one of those failures was wiped out. Each time he asked him, "Do you love me?" it was to overcome the "I don't know" Jesus. It was him ready to start anew. And Jesus said, "Feed my sheep." This failure was forgotten, and a new challenge was given. What comes after failure in the dictionary? Does anybody know? It's faith. Faith is the key to transformation in our lives. Faith is to be forgiven. Faith is to start again and to find new ways to go on. The future, it lies in our faith in God. Grace, it pursues us. God pursues us constantly to change us. That's the heart of this sanctifying grace that John Wesley talks about. The Apostle Paul sort of puts it this way. "I don't mean to say that I've already achieved these things or that I have already reached perfection, but I keep working toward the day when I'll finally be all that Christ Jesus saved me for and wants me to be." No, dear brothers and sisters, I am still not all I should be. But I am focusing all my energies on this one thing, forgetting the past and looking forward to what lies ahead. I strain to reach the end of the race and receive the prize for which God, through Christ Jesus, is calling us up to heaven. One final story to wrap it all up. There's this young girl who accepted Jesus as her Savior. She applied for membership at her local church. The deacon there was asking her some questions in front of the congregation. He said, "Were you a sinner before you received Jesus into your life?" She said, "Yes, sir." The deacon said, "Well, are you still a sinner?" The young girl said, "To tell you the truth, I feel like I'm a greater sinner than I ever was before." Deacon, he asked her, "Then what real change have you experienced? What have you experienced in being saved? I don't think I understand." The young girl, she said, "I don't quite know how to explain it yet. I'm still working on it." She said, "All I know is I used to be a sinner running after sin. But now that I'm saved, I'm a sinner running from sin." Peter's transformation. He changed the world because the tears of his failure led him to God's grace. A grace that he could not outrun, that we can't outrun. It's a grace that never goes away and never fails. So how will God work to transform us today? How is He in our lives? How can we see that roller coaster we're on? Go pray with me. Lord, again, thank You for this beautiful day You've given us. And Lord, thank You for this assurance, this constant grace that's able to forgive everything in our past. And as Paul says, help us forget our past and move on to our future, a future with life in You. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.